His parents named him Frank Joseph James Lynch, but everybody knew him as Bud. He passed away this week at the age of 95. Now, you can't call that a tragedy, but you can call it a loss, one that thousands are feeling. In a week that included no Big Ten teams ranked in the top 25 for the first time ever, the idiotic NHL lockout, and far worse, Jerry Sandusky's sentencing, I would rather spend my few minutes with you honoring a man who lived as long as he lived well. Lynch was born in Windsor, Ontario during World War I. He got a start in radio in Hamilton, Ontario, but World War II interrupted his young career in 1939 when he volunteered for Canada's Essex Scottish Regiment. 5 years later, he stormed the beaches at Normandy and survived unscathed. But a few weeks after that, a German rocket took his right arm. When Lynch returned, he worked for the Red Wings back at the old Olympia Arena, which was still pretty new at that time. Over the next 63 years, he held a variety of jobs, but they all involved a microphone, the Red Wings, and his smooth, redolent voice. He saw his job as simply relaying information to the crowd, not to act as a cheerleader. He was a pro's pro. He was as beloved by Red Wings fans as Ernie Harwell and George Kell were by Tiger fans. Like his peers, Lynch was remarkably humble. The Associated Press's Larry Lage recalled that, although the guy could have walked through the cramped Joe Louis press box like he owned the place, he'd always turn sideways and wait for some young buck like Larry to pass with a smile. I got to know Mr. Lynch in the 90s when I was writing sports features for the Detroit News. He always remembered my name and liked to chat up my latest article, which I believe he did for all the young writers. During that time, a Red Wings official told me a story about a player I'll call Ken Patrick, who was a very good player who thought he was a great player, and that was the problem. Patrick would get ticked off, for example, if he was not credited with an assist he felt he deserved. After one game, he complained about this very thing to his teammates, which prompted a few of them to ask Mr. Lynch to come down to Joe Louis the next day for a special assignment. At the end of practice, in an empty arena, they heard Lynch's voice suddenly boom over the PA system. A correction to last night's third goal. The assist should be credited not to Chris Draper, but to Ken Patrick. Ken Patrick. Most of the players had no idea Lynch was going to do that and erupted in laughter, smacking their sticks against the ice and high-fiving each other. Patrick, however, did not find it so funny and stormed off the ice, sulking. And that is just one more reason why I love Bud Lynch. He took his work seriously, but not himself, and he was not afraid to partake in a little good-natured ribbing if somebody had it coming. Lynch was serious, though, about his family. 6 daughters survive him, and service to country. USA Today's Kevin Allen recalled the unique way Lynch introduced the national anthem. "Please rise and remove your hats. Active duty and retired military may keep their hats on while rendering the military salute. Please join the Red Wings' own Karen Newman for the U.S. national anthem." People listened and obeyed. Bud Lynch was a bona fide war hero, a talented man who was inducted into just about every Hall of Fame a hockey broadcaster can be. He cared about his work and the people he worked for, the coaches, the players, and especially the fans. Thanks to the Red Wings' wisdom, he was still at the microphone this past spring, his 63rd season, and sounding great. Bud Lynch did not invent anything. He was not a doctor, a lawyer, or a captain of industry. He wasn't rich, and he probably wasn't too well-known outside of Michigan, but he didn't care about any of that. I remember him as a very good man, and this week, that is worth remembering.